From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this chilly day in Maine, Friday, January 5th, 2018. And on this day, concerns about changes that would make cheaper and skimpier health insurance available, and how the shift to proficiency-based graduation requirements is playing out at one Maine high school. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
This week, the Trump administration released proposed new rules that would make it easier for small businesses and self-employed people to band together to buy association health plans. Supporters say the plans will give people more options for affordable coverage, but critics say any savings the plans might offer would come at a cost, namely skimpy coverage in a weaker individual market. Patty White has our story.
The proposed new rules are aimed at association health plans, plans in which small businesses in the same industry group together to buy insurance coverage and get cheaper rates. The proposed changes would expand who can opt into these plans by allowing associations to form according to geography, not just industry. Second, they would unravel regulations the Affordable Care Act had placed on these plans. The state director for the National Federation of Independent Business, David Clow, says he needs to examine the proposals further, but he's optimistic they'll benefit small businesses.
NFIB supports measures that give small business owners more options to provide health insurance to their employees, and of course the measures that also make health insurance more affordable.
A spokeswoman for Maine Senator Susan Collins echoed that sentiment and said that Collins will carefully evaluate the proposals. But independent health policy consultant Mitchell Stein is skeptical they're an improvement on plans that historically haven't had the best reputation.
Before the ACA, these were plans that were really very suspect.
Stein says they often didn't cover a lot of benefits.
And they were very good at selecting who they did and didn't cover.
The ACA changed that by requiring association health plans to cover essential health benefits, such as prescription drug coverage and mental health care. But the Trump administration's proposal unravels those protections by allowing association health plans to be treated like large employer plans, which aren't required to provide essential benefits. That means plans could once again offer less coverage for a cheaper price, which Stein says
weakens the risk pool by drawing out young and healthy people who will no longer be covered by the individual ACA plans.
Ed Feibel, an employee benefits attorney with Eaton Peabody in Portland, says that's a valid concern.
Sure.
Feibel says if you pull people out of one market into another, the market they're being pulled out of, in this case the individual market, would be adversely affected because there will be fewer people in that pool.
That's likely to drive up rates in that part of the market. Is it going to drive rates down in the large group market? Well, not across the board, because each large group gets rated on its own.
Feibel says some consumers could get decent coverage that's affordable, but
I don't think it's going to make it so much more affordable for so many people.
And Steve Butterfield of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare says rolling back consumer protections aren't worth it.
People may, you know, find a path to lower premiums through these, but as we, you know, relentlessly remind folks, insurance is about more than just your premiums. And if you're paying less and also getting less, and, you know, this thing that you buy into isn't there for you when you need it, then what are you paying for?
The public has 60 days to comment on the proposal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Also this week, the Trump administration proposed opening federal waters on the East Coast to oil and gas drilling. Maine's two U.S. senators say they are against it. Mal Leary has details.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke announced the proposal this week that would allow new offshore oil and gas drilling in nearly all United States coastal waters, granting energy companies access to leases off California for the first time in decades, and opening more than a billion acres in the Arctic and along the eastern seaboard. The proposal would lift a ban put in place by President Obama a few years ago.
There's been no discussion of Maine yet, but it hasn't been ruled out.
Maine Republican Susan Collins.
it would endanger our marine resources, our fishing industry, our way of life, our tourism industry.
Secretary Zinke says that the Obama action blocked drilling on about 94% of the outer continental shelf. That's the submerged offshore area between state coastal waters and the deep ocean. Those restrictions, he claims, cost the United States billions of dollars in lost revenue, and said this proposal would make about 90% of those waters available for leasing. Federal research suggests, however, that the Gulf of Maine lacks the right geology to be a likely site of commercial deposits of oil or natural gas.
Drilling off the Maine coast is just a terrible idea.
Independent Senator Angus King says even if there were deposits, they are not worth the risks of a spill.
The cost of any incident to our coastal industry, whether it's fisheries or recreation, would far outweigh any benefits to the state of Maine or to the country.
The move by the Trump administration should not come as a surprise. Trump signed an executive order last April requiring the Interior Department to review the Obama ban. Collins says while the House may support implementing legislation to allow the drilling, she doubts the Senate will.
This is one that would be subjected to a filibuster, most likely, and I don't think the 60 votes are there in the Senate to allow it to proceed. The House could well pass it, but I don't think the Senate would.
Both of Maine's representatives to Congress, Democratic Representative Shelley Pingree and Republican Representative Bruce Poliquin, released statements saying they're opposed to drilling off the coast of Maine. Mainers will have the opportunity to tell federal officials what they think of the plan at a public hearing in Augusta on January 22nd. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Starting 3 years from now, high school students in Maine won't be able to graduate just by earning credits. They'll need to have mastered a set of standards in subjects including math, English, and science. It's a big shift in education policy. And over the course of the year, Maine Public's following the new changes at one school, Oak Hill High School near Lewiston. In our last dispatch, we looked at the new approaches that schools are using to help students reach the standards. But as Robbie Feinberg reports, some educators are still worried that a big percentage of students may not be able to make the grade.
Hey, Gina. Hey, it's Derek.
At Oak Hill High School, interventionist Derek Cody spends a lot of his time just making phone calls. He calls teachers and tracks down students who may be behind and need a lot of credits to graduate. Cody serves as a kind of coach who helps students catch up on work.
Hey there.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
On one early weekday morning, Cody sits down with one student who's fallen way behind in almost all of her classes. It's not due to a lack of effort, she says. She tells Cody she works long shifts to earn money after school and often can't concentrate in class.
Oh, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you work, or what time do you work?
I work, like 4 to, like, 10.
You have a 6-hour shift tonight?
Not tonight, but, like, tomorrow. And then
okay.
Thursday and Friday.
She lists a backlog of schoolwork, too. A project in history, 2 essays, 2 quizzes in English. That is a lot of work, Cody tells her. But he also reassures her that by working together, they can get caught up. He grabs a piece of paper and lists out each task for her, one by one.
So, quick question. Would you like to get caught back up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
You willing to work a little bit harder? Because if you're willing to work a little bit harder, I will bend over backwards to help you get back on track and make sure that you are,
yeah,
you know, ready to graduate on time. I will.
And getting these students on track is important. The state's new proficiency-based diploma law requires students to show that they're proficient in up to 8 content areas by 2025. That means mastering everything from math to English and foreign language. With Cody on the staff and a new approach to intervention, Oak Hill's administrators believe they can meet that goal. But across the state, many educators and officials are worried.
The kids who struggle will continue to struggle. And I truly believe that some of them will never get a diploma.
Lois Kilby Chesley is the president of the Maine Education Association, the union that represents teachers. She says her organization has long been worried that the new standards may be too hard for some students to meet.
They might have pulled it off with D's and gotten a diploma, but if we start looking at does not meet the standards, that they may never meet the standards. And I do think that they get penalized.
Those worries extend into specific districts, too. Tina Maserve is the superintendent of RSU 16 in Poland. The district's high school was the first in Maine to go fully proficiency-based back in 1999. But in the years following the passage of the state law, Maserve expressed concern that nearly a third of students might not meet the standards.
Certainly, we don't want 30% of our students not getting diplomas, because that's a key milestone for many experiences after high school.
Maserve says her concerns have eased somewhat in recent years because districts have been allowed some flexibility in how they set their graduation standards. But Maserve still worries that students in her own district may not be able to reach proficiency in every subject area, specifically in subjects like math or Spanish, where many rural schools struggle to even find teachers.
We still worry about students in foreign language and a small group of students that need additional time in math. So the students who are in like maybe a remedial math class in their freshman year to get them ready for high school level math.
Exacerbating the problem, some officials say, are rules proposed by the Department of Education in September, which say every student must master the standards at the same level of rigor. If they can't, they could wind up with just a certificate of completion rather than a diploma. Educators and advocates fear that those rules were too strict and could make it impossible for many students to graduate, including some with learning disabilities.
Because if we don't get it right the first time, there's going to be a generation of kids that are going to suffer.
Dick DeRoss, the executive director of the Maine Principals Association, said back in October that the rules needed to be looked at.
If this is going to pass the straight face test at the local level, and we really are going to hold those students to the standards with the bar where we've set the bar, are we setting kids and families and communities and educators up for failure? And I think as we get further and further into this, that's the concern.
Diana Duiron says the department has heard these concerns loud and clear. Duiron, the proficiency-based education specialist for the DOE, says the department ultimately made the decision to start over on the rules. Over the past 3 months, Duiron has talked to groups of educators, parents, and students across the state as she drafts new rules.
Having conversations and debates, perhaps, in terms of internally as we try to redraft a rule that addresses that and provides for equity.
But many educators are still concerned that Maine schools don't have enough time. State Representative Victoria Cornfield of Bangor has proposed a bill for the current legislative session to delay the law another year to 2022.
And it's just that I do not want students to get hurt in decisions that we make in Augusta.
The Department of Education says the new rules will begin to be drafted over the next few months and will hopefully be ready for comment by spring. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For disclosure, the Maine Education Association represents most of Maine Public's news staff. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, January 5th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.